first lesson up there for you this morning is coming out of Corinthians. So if you turn in your Bibles, it starts in chapter 9, up there, verse 19. So 9:19, 1 Corinthians. And I forgot to tell my elder what to read today, so they're not up here, so I'm sorry. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I'll do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I have beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The gospel reading, or the second reading for this morning, comes out of the Gospel of Matthew. Again, if you'll turn there. This is a section taken out of the week between Good Friday and Palm Sunday, but this is some of Jesus' teaching, but it's a section that I wanted to use as we get closer and closer to those dates as they press forward on us. This is the second one of three parables in this chapter. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable is called the parable of the talents. Starting at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like to invite the kids that are going to be playing bells to come down first so they can get up there and get situated. And then if there's any other kids, you come on down and sit in the front row. But you gotta sit quiet. Sit down in the front rows here. You can walk up there. Good. You guys get to sit down. Come. No. No. You come sit down. You're going to get to do the next one in a minute. Come sit down up front. Come get out. Come on down here. You can play the next time around. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. Well done. Oh, how I love Jesus. It's a beautiful song. It is. Well, I got kind of an interesting sermon today, I hope. It's going to be a little hard to explain because it feels, in one sense, kind of sad because, you know, the people at the end who don't do what they're supposed to do end up in hell. So that makes a pretty serious thing. But God does something really interesting in this parable. And he says that he is like a master who calls the people that serve him, and he gives them something very precious to them. Okay? Now, he always knows how much they can handle. So one, he gives five of his precious things, to one, he gives two of his precious things, and to one, he gives one of his precious things. And he says, I want you to use them properly. So that's how that story begins. Now, one of the things that happens is the guy with one doesn't do anything with it. He just lets it sit. And here's the part. Let's see if I can explain it to you a little bit. When a person is only this big and we're holding them in our arms, if I set that little baby on the ground, I said, walk, baby, walk, what would it do? It would sit there and cry, yes, because it'd think I was yelling at it. Get up and walk. See, I can only expect certain things from little ones. But some of you are bigger now. Can you walk over by me? Come on. Look, walk over by me. Can you give me five? Now you get to walk back. Perfect job. Good. How many of you think you're old enough help this baby who hasn't learned to walk that I'm pretending is on the floor? How many of you ever had a little baby and tried to help them move their feet as they walk or held their hand? How do you do that? How come you can do it, but maybe one of the other ones can't? Older and bigger. Good. So I can expect something different from her than I can from the baby, than I can from you. All right, here's the hardest one. I'm going to ask you to take the kids and cross the street that's busy. How many of you know how to cross a busy street? You're willing to come up and show me? Both of you, come on up. Tell us, tell the kids what you have to do. Here's the street. All right, what do you have to do? Good. And then what? Here's a little kid. Get one little kid. Come on up there. You're going to be volunteer. What are you going to do for a little kid? And you get him across the street. What are you going to do for him? Well, go hold his hand. It's a busy street. Make sure you hold on nice and tight. She'll wait. She got one on the other side. Here we go. Take him across the street. Whoa! You didn't look. Wait, look. Got it? Yep, go ahead. Well done. You guys get to sit down. Did you notice that some people, as they grow a little older, you can expect more from them, right? So if you're big enough to take a little kid's hand while they're just learning how to walk, and if the little kid takes one step, you know what the parents do? Good job, good job. And then they fall down and they look at you and then you pick them back up and they take two more steps. And you say, good job. Now, if I had one of those girls stand up and they stood up and fell on their butt, good job. Would I do that?
No.
Because they should be doing more than that now, shouldn't they? Well, that's the hard part of the sermon. Because God is going to be the master in the sermon, and he is going to be giving to people the most precious thing that he owns. And you know what God owns? Me. You. There's nothing any more precious in God's kingdom than you. And people have to understand, when God gives talents to the people, he's entrusting them. If I had those two girls walk my little one across the street, I hope they wouldn't make the mistake they almost made before they remembered, but I know in the street you wouldn't. I know, thank you. But you begin to understand. So in my sermon, we're going to be talking about the most precious thing that God has, and how he entrusts that, just the way a baby is very precious, and a little boy is precious, and little people and girls and boys are all precious to God, and then they walk them across the street to keep them safe. That's what we're going to be talking about, only in big people language. So God says, if I give you two talents, or two souls, or two precious people to take care of, you better take real good care of them. I don't want them getting hit when they cross the street. I don't want them to be left lying on the ground when they need to be picked up. I need you to do what you can do for each one of those little ones. Can you remember that for me today? Good. You make sure I talk about that, otherwise come up and yell at me, all right? Good. And I have the bag back here, but we're going to ask the kids to come up first and play their song. So you have a rest, and once they see it, unless you're playing the music. This song is What Can Wash Away My Sins, so. Here we go. Can we give him a little applause? Thank you. That was wonderful. All right. Here we go. Ladies first. Ladies first. Grab quick. Five, four, three, two and a half, two and a quarter.
Thank you, Pastor
Bruce. You're welcome, honey.
Thank you, Pastor
Bruce. You're welcome, honey. No, just one today.
I already have two.
Thank you.
Well, that's okay. You can have two like that. That's fine. Thank you very much. The kingdom of heaven is like. The text that I read you today is it's kind of a fascinating one. It's pretty hard not to come out at the end with the feeling that if I don't do enough works, God's going to burn me. And it's not really the purpose of the text, but it is a part of the message. You have to understand it's partly there, and I want you to pick that up, but I don't want it I don't want you to run home with it in a sense. Instead, I want you to hear this. When you leave today, these are the words I want God to be able to say to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's really the theme of what this parable is about. Now, you have to put it in context. And so if you have your Bible handy, I'm actually going to go back a little bit into chapter 24. This is called the Olivet Discourse. He's talking with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. They're asking, he's been preaching some heavy-duty preaching about the end of the world, about how difficult things are going to be, and a few things like that. And so they ask the question in chapter 24 of Matthew, what will the signs be? What's it going to be like? How will we know it's coming to the end? And so the intensity of Jesus' teaching goes from here to here to here. It just keeps going up. And the people, of course, are feeling a little bit what sometimes people even today say. It feels like it's just out of control. It's coming so fast, some of those kinds of things. And I go, in one sense, yes. But Jesus' point ultimately was to prepare them for his crucifixion, get them ready for the other things that they had to be ready for. So as chapter 4 begins to end, there's an interesting little section that talks about a little parable. I'm going to read this one to you. So I'm in chapter 24 of Matthew, starting at verse 45. All right? It says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I was listening to one pastor preach, and he said it this way. He said, pastors are gifts to the churches, not the church a gift to the pastor. And he didn't mean to insult you. He meant pastors don't think they belong to you. You're a steward of what belongs to God. Do you understand the intensity I want you to feel? The difference between putting your hand on a little 1.5-year-old learning how to walk, walking them around the living room from couch to chair, whatever they're all doing, and that kind of thing, to having the girls take the kids across the street. The intensity of this is even more intense than that, because when he speaks about doing nothing with the talents he's given him, he's asking a question: what are you doing with the souls in your life that God has entrusted with you with? With parents, it's easy to go, I got 2, 4, 6, 8 kids. And you can understand that. With a husband or a wife, I have a wife or a husband. And God says, start thinking bigger. God says, I will leave you with a talent. And this is not talent like I can sing and dance talent. This is a weighty thing. This is the weight of silver. It frequently could be a talent. So it could be a talent of silver, a talent of gold, a talent of copper. It means something weighty and significant and important. And so here in this parable, God is coming to a topic, or Jesus is coming to a topic, and he's saying, what are you doing with the things that ultimately matter in your life? And you begin to understand, he's not talking about stuff. He's not talking about silver and gold. He's talking about how you respond and live your life with the precious people, things, I'll use things slash people in that context, but those that God has entrusted you with. Paul once said that he had been entrusted with the secret things of God. And because he had been entrusted with the secret things of God, he has to share them. He cannot keep them quiet. He is accountable to God for what God has shared with him. And so there's this intensity on Paul's part where he starts speaking. He said, I am obligated. I cannot not preach. I have to say these things. I got to preach that word of God. So we come into this section, and I'm going to remind you now, you can look in your Bible, but we're going to come first through a parable I'm just going to refer to with the 10 virgins. And the parable is about 10 girls who are part of the wedding feast. They're a part of the banquet. They're scheduled. They're invited. They're all set. But they run out of oil. And in the running out of oil, 5 of them don't make it. All right? And the phrase at the end of that is, it goes like this. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Not a pleasant ending. 5 people there, ready to go, waiting for the bridegroom to come, but not prepared to wait, or not prepared to wait the correct way. And so it ends the way it is. Then you get to this parable of the talents. And sometimes we want to focus on the 5, 2, and 1. And the focus is not meant to be on that, but the focus is to understand the master entrusted those things most precious to the master into those servants' hands. And that's you and me, all right? Certainly as a pastor, I can't walk around going, you are so lucky to have me, give me more money, buy me another airplane. One isn't enough. You didn't know I had, they're just little, but you begin to understand that whole process of how we get caught in this and we get this thing messed up. And so you begin to understand, he called his servants to him, gave them what he knew they could handle. Stand up and walk, baby. Cannot do it. Come to me. Did it perfectly and just fine. Can you be someone who can hold their hand and help a 1 or 2 year old learn how to walk? Absolutely. Are you good enough to take a little one across the street and keep them alive? Each one is 1, 2, or 5. What can I entrust you with? All right? To entrust you with watching to make sure the baby doesn't eat or roll over or do something hurtful to it, I can trust you once you get to that certain age where you can concentrate on things. When I expect you to do more, I might be like giving you 2 talents. And if I expect you to walk them across the street, it's like giving them 5 talents. The responsibility goes up. The accountability goes up because your skill and ability goes up with it. That's why when we start talking about to those whom much has been given, much will be required. And it's not a salvation statement, but it's an indication of where your heart is. It's an indication of where your obedience and what you're willing to do for someone else beside yourself. And you begin to understand. The kid that can actually walk by themselves or is bold enough to be able to help a two-year-old walk is at a totally different level of skill and ability than someone who could actually walk your child across the street and get them back and forth across the street safely. So that becomes that kind of analogy. He isn't criticizing one or the other. The master is recognizing what you can handle. He's recognizing the people that he's bringing into your life. And I want you to start asking the question, not how many talents do I have? How many talents, individual souls, has God entrusted me with? Who do you work with? Who do you eat with? When you go to the restaurant, has he entrusted any of those souls into your care? Maybe you can take one by the hand. Maybe you're only able to call or run and say thank you or be kind or whatever it is. Maybe you're able to do something even more extreme. But you begin to understand, who are the treasures God has put in my life? And how am I using them? How am I accomplishing what God wants me to accomplish? And so you begin to understand. The first one comes back and said, I got five more. God goes, well done. And notice the one with two that gets two more. What's the answer to him? Well done. Well done. How did you live this last week? Who did you touch? Who did you love? Who did you encourage? Who did you strengthen? Those are the most precious things in my kingdom. They're people. They're people I love. I need you to get them across the street. I need you to help them stand. I need you to help them walk if they don't know how to walk. What have you done, good and faithful servant, is part of the challenge. And you can feel, I don't want to turn this into that law thing, but we get challenged by it because it's there, and we feel that pressure that the disciples were obviously feeling, okay? You don't get criticized because you bring one. You get criticized for doing nothing, being lazy, taking it for granted, accepting what you got, and too bad for the rest of the world. That's the challenge that he finally says, because both people who multiply the talent at all are both rewarded with those things that he speaks so definitely and so clearly. Well done, good, faithful servant, over many things I'll appoint you, enter into the joy of your Lord. Those are the six things that God promises those that do something with the talents he's entrusted to them. When you start stepping back and you go, one of the talents that you've entrusted me with is my son or my daughter. One of the talents you've entrusted me with is the soul of my wife or my husband. Well, how much responsibility do you want me to have for them? Their life, their damnation, their salvation. That's when you start to feel the hit. That's when you begin to understand, if I'm unfaithful, people die. If I'm unfaithful servant and sitting negligently sitting around on my butt, people die, people go to hell. It's not like, oh, I could have put it in the bank and earned 1.5% interest or whatever it jumped up to, 1% now. It's not that. It's when you don't do what God has entrusted to your care, people go to hell. That becomes, oh my goodness. So here's the Lord talking to his disciples, looking at them, knowing he is going to entrust the entire kingdom into these disciples' hands in what? The next 6 days, 5 days, by the time Resurrection Sunday comes around, and then the 40 days afterward, and then the ascension. Now the whole thing is in their hands, on their backs, on Lamb of God's back. What have you done with what I've entrusted to you, Lamb of God? How hard is it for you to understand there are people that will go to hell because we are or are not faithful to what God has called us to do and to be? And we start to feel the intensity, the pressure of this. And you and I are supposed to. Because you got to understand, Jesus is having what we would call his last conversations with his disciples. He's going to repeat this many ways, but his point isn't going to change. He goes, I need you to be faithful. You can understand what the master would do to an unfaithful servant from the other short parable I read to you that wasn't feeding his people, that wasn't taking care of the people the master had entrusted to him, that was failing and instead taking advantage, the church for the pastor, the church for the servant, the church for that, you know, serving me, rather than the pastor serving the church, who are God's people, who are God's treasures, or you serving your wife or your husband, whether you feel like it or not. See, that's what makes this tough, is how I feel. Sometimes I don't mind serving God. Other times I chafe at it. It gets really, really hard. I have a very unlovable husband, a very unlovable wife, or certain times of day, week, month, or year, or certain things set them off in one direction or another. Or I can come up with more reasons why not to be married than married, or why I shouldn't listen to my mother or father, or why I should. And God still calls you to a level of faithfulness, right? Listen to the words. Well done, good, faithful child. Did you hear me change the word? Well done, good and faithful 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old. You begin to understand. He's not talking just to adults. He's talking about living your life the way God's called you to live it in a level of faithfulness, understanding, and obedience. And he points that out. Now, as this parable comes to the end, throw the worthless servant outside into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have to understand, those people will end up in those places, but God says, so will you. Do what I've called you to do. Be faithful to feed the people I've called you to feed. Be faithful to take care of the people I've called you to take care of. Then he goes into the third parable, and I'll just allude to it a little bit because it adds another point of pressure, which God is not against. All right? You and I feeling pressure for faithfulness and obedience is not against the will of God, because I can get lazy. All right? You can get lazy. We get lethargic. One of the people on Grief Share in the video said, the couch was so comfortable. It seemed so secure, and it seemed so safe. There was no demands placed on me when I sit on the couch. All right? And so you begin to understand that's real, in real life people like you and I. So the last one is, and at the end of the world, all the people will be gathered together, and the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. The goats go to hell. The sheep go to heaven. And they're separated by what they did or didn't do. In that parable, it's a powerful one. And so you begin to understand some of the things that are going on here. God looks at you and he says, I can't give you anything more valuable than the people that are around you right now. There's nothing more important in your life, or there should be nothing more important in your life than the man, woman, or child that you have the opportunity to encourage, to bless, to touch, to make a difference in. God calls you. I need people who are willing to serve that way. Because my prayer, and the prayer that Jesus is speaking is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into this rest. Enter into this quality. And so God calling his people through these parables, like he did with the disciples, they had to get done and just be overwhelmed. But Paul finally got it. Later on, as he finally gets it, he goes, I can't not preach. I can't not love. I can't not forgive. I can't do those things because God has run and taken over my heart and my life, and I owe him everything. And all that's required of me is that I be found faithful, serving him wholeheartedly. Sometimes you win. Sometimes people come to the Lord. But even if they don't, you win in the sense that you have proved to be faithful. And so the words, as we share them one more time, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It's an invitation. It's a challenge. And we ask that God would help us pursue it together. Lord, I know when your Spirit entered your disciples and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them that day, there was a miracle of healing and refreshing and tasting of things that they'd never tasted before. They were empowered, Lord, with things that we are each empowered with. We forget sometimes and we hang on to stuff. We hang on to things. We argue with people about stuff or things that are around us or in our family or in our house or that we need to purchase or have in order to be happy. And we forget, Lord, that the most precious talent, the most precious thing in your kingdom is the man, woman, son, or daughter sitting around us right now. So, Lord, change our hearts. Give us a view of life and people the way you see them. And give us the courage, Lord, to follow you wholeheartedly so that we can hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.